Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. This is Liz Dolan. It is Sunday, May 25th, a beautiful Memorial Day weekend here in Southern California. I'm joined by three of my sisters. Leanne, you are also in Southern California.
Happy to be here, Liz. Happy to be here.
Okay. Julie Dolan, Dallas, Texas. What's going on there?
It's very pleasant. I am hosting a sleepover this weekend with my two oldest grandchildren.
Oh.
And I left them in the pool with Grandpa T. So I have limited time here.
Grandpa T, that's your husband.
My husband.
So yeah, it's not like he's some 90-year-old lifeguard, right?
No, he's very able-bodied, but it's limited. So we have to talk fast today.
Okay. And Monica Dolan, you are in Bend, Oregon.
I am. 3-day weekend. Loving every minute of it.
Oh, don't you love the 3-day weekend? Okay. I actually had the snow tires taken off my car yesterday. That was
good plan, Liz. That's
how productive these 3-day weekends can be. Also yesterday, when I drive through Westwood on Memorial Day weekend, it's always so beautiful. The Saturday morning of Memorial Day weekend, there's a big veterans cemetery there. And first thing in the morning, all the Boy Scout troops from around Southern California are there putting flags on every grave. And it is really emotional to look out there and see all of those flags and see all of those kids honoring all of the veterans. So it was kind of a nice way to begin the weekend, because you can lose track of what the weekend is about,
right,
unless you're careful. All right. Another big thing happening this weekend. I had a couple of reports from the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, and one is from Elise because it was about the big news event here in Southern California on Friday night, the mass shooting in Santa Barbara. Elise, who is a longtime Satellite Sister, wrote on our Facebook group that she was actually in Santa Barbara on Friday night because her daughter had just graduated from Santa Barbara City College. So first of all, Elise, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to UCSB in the fall. So she lives right around that area. It's called Isla Vista, is how that's pronounced,
yes,
right,
Lee? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isla Vista. Can you describe it, Lee? Because I think it's hard in the news for people to understand. It's like where all the students live, but it's not on campus.
It's
right?
Exactly right, Liz. Right. It's 23,000 people living there. It is essentially like an island, you know, oasis. And but it's not officially part of the campus, although UCSB pays millions of dollars for police and security there. They contribute to it. So it's sort of ad hoc dorms for
yes.
the kids there. But it's very close by. It does yeah. have a reputation of being party central.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the beach in just north of Santa Barbara in Goleta, California.
Right. So Elise had dinner with her daughter, and then they went for coffee afterwards. And it was when her daughter – so they were in downtown Santa Barbara. And it was when her daughter went home about 15 minutes later, they got the calls that she that there had been a shooting right in her neighborhood. And her place was right between two streets where some of the shootings had occurred. And it's just a reminder that these – horrible, horrible crimes really radiate out so quickly and touch so many people. So obviously we're thinking about the people that it touched directly on Friday night, but all of us who know, you know, someone or mm-hmm. you come close to being attached to something like that, it can be really frightening. But
yeah, we spent the day yesterday waiting to hear from some of Brooks's friends that are up there, both at Santa Barbara City College and UCSB. They're all fine, but they were, you know, heard shots, and it's just very close to home, that particular
yeah.
shooting.
Another thing on the Facebook group that is very close to home for us, and I just wanted people to read it and provide any advice if you can. Cynthia posted that the doctor had given her father just 0 to 6 months to live, is what she wrote, that his heart is weakening. He has congestive heart failure. So she's wrestling with what we all wrestled with, sisters, you know, like where should your father be cared for if this is really the end of his life? He wants to come home. She's not sure they can handle it at home. She's going to take time off for the Family Medical Leave Act, which I know, Monica, you did when our mother was sick, right? You arranged to do that.
I did.
Mm-hmm. And she's talking to hospice people. Anyway, in her post, she said, any advice always welcomed. So if you haven't seen that post and you want to go read that and provide Cynthia any kind of emotional support advice, she's reaching out to you. So I just wanted to let you know that if you want to give her your perspective, she'd obviously be grateful for that. And one other really nice post that I just wanted to mention from Denise. Just earlier this morning, she posted, thought about Edna the other day at the Portland Rose Garden. See why she loved it. Absolutely incredible.
Wow.
Oh, that's so nice, Denise.
That is nice.
Edna is our mother. And yes, she was a volunteer at the Portland Rose Garden. Her job title, I believe, Julie, was deadheader, right?
She was a deadheader, Liz. She was one of the best. She had a whole outfit that she would wear to the Rose Garden. Special gloves, a special coat, a hat. She took her responsibilities as a volunteer very seriously and really enjoyed the other deadheaders. She used to party with them, Liz, from time to time. I think there was homemade wine involved with their parties.
Yes, it was at the end of the year celebration.
Anyway, that was a really sweet thing of you to post. Anyway, there's a lot going on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, so please just join and jump in. One other thing about the Satellite Sisters being together, Leanne, we have nailed down the site for the Satellite Sisters Cape Cod meetup, correct?
It's exciting that it's happening.
Yes.
Thanks to Pam Beard, one of the Satellite Sisters there on site in the Cape. She found a great spot for us to have our meetup Sunday, June 15th, 2 to 4 p.m. We're going to be at Brax Landing. By all accounts, it's a fantastic sort of casual outdoor place to hang. They have a brunch from 12 to 2. We are not participating in that. It is just a no host bar situation, 2 to 4, Brax Landing, Harwichport, Mass. I will post the information at the website, and you can always find it on the Facebook page. So we apologize. It is Father's Day. We are there for a wedding, so the date was out of our control. It's really only 2 hours, though, Dad. So just
let it go.
Seems
like you can honor your dad for 22 other hours.
Right.
Right. Dad might want to take a nap between 2 and 4.
Right. Or watch some golf or something.
Or bring your dad. Right. That would be fun. Bring your dad.
Good point, Julie. Who cares? Bring your dad.
Yeah. So we'd like to thank Mr. White. Bridget White's dad has already agreed that she can come. The father in Connecticut gave his blessing, so she's excited to see us. But we're looking forward to it. So thanks, Pam, and everybody else who sort of stepped up and did some recon. And we will see you there June 15th.
It looks great, right on the water there. I'm very excited about that. So, all right. Speaking of water, Monica Dolan, what the hey with the Portland, Oregon water supply? That is your home, of course. Yeah. What happened?
Well, what happened is on Friday we got a citywide boil water alert. So it went out to all, like, I think 670,000 residents. And they told you not to drink or use tap water or ice. And I like this. It was sort of, they said you shouldn't have been using the water since like 2 days before. But what are you going to do now? So they just found.
Very helpful information.
You know, so they found through their routine water testing that there was E. coli in the tap water. So it was quite a panic there at the hospital, because you can imagine being in a hospital and not being able to use water.
Having
to go to all boiled water. But I tried not to pay attention to it because I had already sucked down a giant iced tea full of ice cubes made with the potentially tainted ice cubes. There was nothing I could do. I already had the iced tea. And I had the iced tea the day before and a lot of tap water the day before. So what I appreciated is at least they told us about it. And in Portland, they have a system where they have a reverse 911 call. So you get an alert. You get a phone call on your home phone. And it's happened before. Just in my neighborhood, we've had a boil water alert before. And you get a nice phone call at home telling you not to drink the tap water to boil water. But of course, people were just It was all over the news that people were like, what restaurant are we going to go to tonight? You know, oh God, restaurants had to close for like 6 hours until the boil water alert was cleared. But I was on my way driving out of town anyways, and I was listening to the local news. So obviously it was a big story because it had just happened at noon. And then I found out that like the town I was driving through, Gresham, which is outside of Portland, they were not affected by the dirty water.
Oh.
So I just stopped and got myself another iced tea.
Is that your idea of hoarding water, Monica, just filling up on iced tea?
Just filling up on iced tea. I mean, there was, I guess, one report of someone getting sick. Someone called the health department and said they had diarrhea or something. So so far we've had a report of one person getting sick. But
seems like, Monica, this is the second time, because there was a story in the news a couple weeks back about some teenager relieving himself in one of your reservoirs.
Right.
And they had to get rid of all the water in a reservoir.
It was like 35,000. They caught a teenager. He was peeing in the reservoir. The problem is we have open reservoirs in Portland, you know, outside of the city, that's where all the city water comes from. So obviously stuff gets in and out an uncovered reservoir. You know, they're saying this E. coli was probably bird poop or who knows, whatever. Dead
animals. Well, I'm sure you have the open reservoirs because most of the year in Portland, Oregon, water is falling from the sky.
Right?
That's when I think of Portland, really the first word that comes to mind is water.
It's just water all around. Believe me, you could survive for a long time just collecting water in your backyard. I don't think it would be as clean as the reservoir water, because that's treated too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, as of Saturday, boil water alert lifted. So we're on to just sucking down the water now.
Oh, okay. Well, a little touch of E. coli could be a good weight loss opportunity.
Yeah.
For an adult, but obviously for like young children.
I know, Julie. I was only kidding.
As a grandmother, I have to speak out. I don't think I would. I would still be very nervous about using that water from your big open reservoirs, Monica. I think I'd go to bottled water, you know, like you
know, but they test the water, I don't know, what, like 4 times a day. So I feel actually safer about the water because we were notified right away. And at least I know they're testing the water. So who knows what goes on in other cities? I just
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at PROS.com/sisters. so you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going, like you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Julie, have you been testing? You said your grandchildren are in the backyard in the pool with your husband. What's your water quality level right now?
It's very hot.
It's not a big pool. It's just like a water feature that is swimmable, right?
Right, Liz, right.
So how many times a day are you and Trent testing?
We're testing it a lot. Don't worry. We have a very strict protocol here. So you could drink out of our pool, which is more than you can say for the water in Portland. That's what you don't believe in chlorine either, or fluoride, right, Monica?
I don't know about fluoride, but no, the water is treated with chlorine.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. I'll bring my own water next time I come to this.
You're not allowed to get on a plane with water. Sorry. 3 ounces isn't going to get you too far.
Okay. Well, we're on the same topic of water. Liz, I was wondering if you had attended the same summit that the Levi Strauss CEO, Chip Berg, attended this past week. It was sort of in your neck of the woods. Were you at the environmental summit in Southern California?
I was not, Julie, but I certainly saw the particular headline that came out of it. And Susan even posted it on our Facebook page and wanted to know your point of view. So
Chip Berg, Levi Strauss CEO, made the statement that he never washes his blue jeans. Okay. That he feels like he was attending a summit on environmental sustainability. He felt that this was his big idea to bring forward, was that really what we needed to do is just not stick our jeans in the wash. What he recommended is spot cleaning. Did you hear this? With a sponge or perhaps a toothbrush. So if you drop your pizza on your jeans, just get out that toothbrush, a little detergent, spot clean it. You don't need to stick your jeans in the wash. Okay. This is completely wrong. Can I just say that? And this is the wrong type of advice to give to guys, okay? Because, Leon, as a mother of boys, you'll back me up on this.
Right. They don't...
There is an age, I think it's about 11, when they just stop bathing altogether. Yeah. And they don't, you know, they would never change their clothes or their underwear. So to have the, you know, the CEO of a major company say, yeah, good work. Don't change your clothes. Keep them on. Just use a toothbrush. Okay, this is, I mean, it's bad for guys. They, you know, the next thing, you know, it's the beards. It's don't brush your teeth.
Yeah, don't change your sheets. You don't need to wash the towels.
Don't wash your hair. Don't pick the towels up. Just leave them on the floor. That's better for the environment, no doubt. So it's a very slippery slope, besides sounding disgusting not to wash your jeans. And I just really don't feel like you get the same kind of cleaning done with either the dirty sponge or the dirty toothbrush.
I know. It just sounds disgusting.
It sounds disgusting. I think he just wanted some headlines. I think, Liz, I think this is on the stunt meter, as our sister Sheila would say.
Very high.
This would rate very high. He really does not believe that you shouldn't wash blue jeans. In fact, I think they count on you washing blue jeans in order to have them actually fit, right? Isn't it? They're always like stiff in the wrong size. And so if you really, you know, to work your blue jeans in, you're supposed to wash them. You're not supposed to sponge them off.
You know, here's the thing that I found surprising is that many people then confessed that they didn't wash their blue jeans either. Oh. Like afterwards, they were like other like Tommy Hilfiger and people were stepping up like, oh, yeah, we don't wash our jeans or I wash it once a year. Really? Just stop now. We don't. Doesn't need to be a blue jean confessional situation.
Yeah, that's surprising. And I would imagine I've been in cities where there are like Levi Strauss manufacturing plants. These are like cities in China, and they use a huge amount of water to make the pants in the first place. So
busted. But way to go,
Liz. I just want to say you're dyeing all that stuff blue. Yeah. How are you doing that with water? And you will occasionally see downstream from a Levi factory that the stream is now blue. So I think maybe this was sort of a distraction strategy on the part of Levi Strauss CEO Chip Berg to try to look over here. I'm not washing my blue jeans, instead of look over here where I'm using a zillion gallons a day dyeing them blue in the first place. That was just my theory. It's a little cynical, but potentially true.
Or else he wants you to buy 300 pairs of blue jeans. So that's the only way you could really make this work. Because the sponge and the toothbrush is not going to happen.
Julie taking a strong water stand today on the show.
I'm hot and bothered about dirty blue jeans. I don't want to see them.
Yeah, I agree. All right. You know what? It's exciting because I promised last week that I would bring you a hormone report. And I'm here with one.
And you went to medical school between last Sunday and this Sunday?
Thank you for mentioning that, Liz. Because first, I would like to preface this by saying I am not a medical professional or trained in any way. I went for a free lunch and the possibility of a goodie bag. And so with that said, all right. So Julie and Monica, I don't know if you were on the show when I promised this, but I was invited to a lunchtime presentation by a doctor here in Pasadena who was referred to by many of my friends as the hormone whisperer. Okay. She
could.
You walk into her office. She does all kind of workups on you. She formulates the perfect hormones, bioidentical hormones for you. As you age, whatever you need, and then she inserts them subcutaneously in these pellet forms. And
really?
So it's, yes, Liz. Oh, now you're intrigued.
Yes.
Intrigued by the pellets.
Yes.
Yes. Where is she inserting the pellets?
In the hip, Julie. In your hip. And I have friends, I've seen the pellets. I don't think they're gonna mess with your bikini wearing sisters. So
You're right. I was worried about that, but yeah. Then not. Right.
Ian, is this woman a doctor?
Yes. Oh, yes, she's a doctor. Okay, yes, she is a doctor.
I just want to stop this up because
she's
I know you're
Southern California doctor, Monica. That's a different
breed. No. Okay. First of all, let me preface this because she trained in the Midwest. She did her residency with a woman named Dr. Kathy Maupin, who has written a new book, and I will put this information on the website because this is where the medical information is, if you're interested, called The Secret Female Hormone, How Testosterone Replacement Can Change Your Life. So she did her, this woman was her mentor, and she knew that she was moving out to Southern California, so she trained her in this method, the pellets and everything, and then she moved out to Pasadena and established her own practice. So she is an actual doctor, and she had tons of medical information. So I am just passing along some of the highlights, and the title of this book, if you would be interested in pursuing this further. I know we don't like to talk about hormones a lot on the show, but I know we're all thinking a lot about hormones a lot in our free time. So here was a couple of things I found interesting. First of all, the first 10 minutes of the conversation involved a lot of words like creepy, jowly, saggy. Oh. I know.
Those words do sound familiar, though.
I know. Are you familiar? Yeah. Are you familiar with that, Liz? But then the second portion was about how the secret female hormone, testosterone, that a little testosterone goes a long way in sort of making you feel better, making you feel and appear less jowly, making you feel and look less saggy and crepey and creepy. And that, you know, if you find the right balance, it can really bring back a lot of energy to your life. Now, it's not an overnight cure, she said. It usually takes about a year after people start on the therapy for them to feel back at their, hold on to your hats, pre-39 hormone levels.
That's the target?
She promised that you would feel as good as you did in your 30s.
Wow. But Leanne, so you just stay on these pellets for the rest of your life?
No. She didn't recommend that. Again, Julie, she's not a quack. She is like a medical doctor. So I would like...
Julie's just... Your whole line of questioning is assuming she's a quack.
And she's not,
I assume she's like Suzanne Summers up there.
Yes, no, yes. Here's the thing. Because, of course, my friends have been to Suzanne Summers doctors. And they have already sought out those doctors in Venice Beach. And then they have come to this doctor. Because Suzanne Summers doctors does the cream. And the hormone cream, which is not as predictable as the pellets, Monica. So there you go. So I'm just passing along this information because I have to say I have seen my friends and they're on the pellets and they look pretty great. Like they say it has really changed their life. So Julie, what she's recommending is 5 years, 5 to 10 years. So of this to sort of extend again that age 39 hormone level.
Then what happens then after the 5 years, you totally collapse into the creepy, saggy person you actually were.
Yes. It's like Portrait of Dorian Gray. Yes. There's then the real you comes out.
By then your doctor figures it's too late. I mean, I know
you know what? No, she said like, really, we don't have long-term, like there's, right now, I say 5 to 10 years. She said in 5 years, I may say, oh, yeah, you can extend it 15 years. She said what's happened is that our endocrine systems have not caught up with the fact that we're all living longer. So it's taken us, you know, thousands of years to evolve to this point. Our bodies were meant to have babies. You know, we did that. But now we're living 30, 40 years past our last child. And if we're lucky and healthy and everything like that. So this is to sort of fill that gap. That's the way I took it, Julie. That made me feel good.
How often do you have to change your pellets?
Here's the thing. It's usually every 4 months you have to go in for new pellets. She said, if you are, again, I don't think any of us are in the category of triathlete or a marathon runner.
Extremely thin.
Yes. If your metabolism is very fast, you're extremely thin. You may burn through them in 2 to 3 months as opposed to 3 to 4 months. So, and my friends tell me when the pellets start to wear out, they know. And they know.
You're kidding.
No.
This is like the Stepford Wives, Leanne. You understand
Julie, what I understand is that I don't want to be saggy and crepey. That's what I understand. So they said they just feel like patients are sleeping through the night. They're calmer. They're more amorous. Their husbands seem very happy that they're on the pellets, and that it just, it brings back energy and sort of vitality to their lives. So I am passing that along. Believe me, I would have signed up on the dotted line right there. No, I'm not quite there yet. So I will put the name of this book if people want to read about it. The Secret Female Hormone, How Testosterone Replacement Can Change Your Life by Kathy Maupin, M-A-U-P-I-N, if you can't wait and you just want to get it right now. That's all. It was very interesting to me. And, you know, she said a lot of those early studies, it was the progesterone that was actually the problem causing, you know, with the hormone replacement therapy causing some of the increase in breast cancer. She said not the testosterone and not the estrogen. I didn't also know there were two different types of estrogen. There's the young, fresh estrogen, and then there's what she called old lady estrogen.
That's what I got.
So they're trying, right.
That's what you have, Monica? You're feeling a lot of that?
Do old ladies still have a little bit of estrogen?
Yes. It's called estrone. It's from the adrenal gland. It's called old lady estrogen, and it contributes to, and I quote, belly fat, sagging, painful breasts, breast cancer, loss of memory, fatigue, diminished mood, irritability, obesity, and sagging skin. What she's putting back in is estradiol, which is what you have, you know, when you hit puberty, and that provides the female figure a waistline. Remember that? Soft skin, perky breasts, wet vagina, elasticity of the skin and vagina, thick and shiny hair, low lipid profile, clear thinking, and elevated mood.
Wow.
You want some of that now, don't you, Liz?
That is sounding good.
I know. So there you go. Anyway. I thought it was very interesting. She did say one of the long-term studies on this is that it does provide a lot of protection from heart disease, diabetes, and colon cancer.
Oh.
So those are actual, you know, those are all, that's proven. So mainly.
And are there any people that she said should absolutely not do it?
Yeah. If breast cancer, if you're thinking about having children, because she will give you just testosterone for a little while, if you wanted to try that in your 40s. She said, if you're still thinking about having children, you can't take testosterone. Breast cancer, if you have had breast cancer or at high risk of breast cancer. So there were a couple other contraindications. So again, I'm not a trained professional. So I don't.
No, obviously not, because you're recommending pellets.
Okay, laugh if you will. Okay.
I'm not laughing.
Crepey, jowly, saggy, sisters.
It's a personal decision between you and your doctor.
Yes, it is.
Like many other things.
Yes, yes. So there you have it. That is my report. Speaking of crepey and jowly. So I did actually get my dress for the wedding this weekend.
Oh, good for you.
Yes.
Jealous.
Ooh. Yeah. So I went to another, you know, I learned a lot from my friends. A friend of mine recommended this place. I don't know what's been there for a dozen years. I don't know how I'd never been there. So I went in, and of course, the first dress they showed me, I was like, no, that's not me. And then a half an hour later, I walked out with that dress. So I was like, you were right. I was wrong. But I did try. Are you familiar with the trend this spring of the fit and flare dress? Are you familiar
yes,
with
that? I think that would be a good look on you, Leigh.
Julie, it was the fit and frump on me. It was a disaster.
Because the fit and flare, you know, it's sort of fitted on top, but then flares out. So that's sort of a cute, sassy. I think your wedding dress was a fit.
Your wedding dress was more of a sheath.
I need the dress to go back in after it flares out, or else
people can go wrong with fit and flare.
Yes.
It would make you look like a dancing elephant.
Yeah, that's a good description. That's what I look like.
Like a elephant in a tutu. Thing.
Especially
if you have the right flair.
Wow, that's a little harsh, Monica, for a fashion thing. But okay.
Well, especially had you tried some on, Monica? Is that why you have strong feelings?
I have a fit and flair, but it's the flair. It's very modest. It doesn't like completely flare out. So that's why I like it on me. So Leon, you're set on the dress?
I'm set on the dress. You know, it's, I would describe it as bohemian elegance. That's how I would say.
Whoa, so, whoa.
I know, Julie, don't be panicked. It's not, I told the woman, I said, I don't want to look like the crazy aunt. I want to look like the California aunt. I'm fine with that.
Ladies of the Canyon.
Yeah, it's not, it's better. It's more tailored than, it's more elegant than Ladies of the Canyon. I was in a couple of Ladies of the Canyon situations and I was like, no, this is crazy aunt, too many layers. I don't fit in frump. I don't do this. So,
what is the length of this?
It's actually like to my ankles. So it goes, but it's a long sheath. Basically, it's the same dress I've been wearing for 40 years. The sheath looks good on me. So
yes, it does, Leah.
So it's just a long sheath. It's kind of a silvery mauve color, but then I have a tissue like overlay. Just trust me, it looks great.
Is that just for a little upper arm coverage?
Well, I think my upper arms look pretty good, but it was
that was not an accusation. Okay. I'm just wondering what kind of overlay you were.
Yeah, I mean, it was for a little bit of color and a little bit of pizzazz. It won't add much warmth, but I thought in the church I didn't want bare arms. So I will not have bare arms. I'll be covered in tissue like fabric. So it's very pretty and very colorful. The overlay, it's very pretty. So you will see. I don't think anyone else will have it. So there you have it.
You sound excited about this, Leon. So it's good.
I am excited, Julie.
Well, I'm just slightly panicked now about the dress that I'm going to wear for the wedding. So I was going to wear the dress that I wore to the last wedding.
Which looks a beautiful color, Monica. Really?
Which I probably will, and just don't say anything. I mean,
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leon.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. The other way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your Butcher Box account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your Butcher Box on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already FrameBridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the FrameBridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Hi, Monica, I'm considering the same strategy.
It'd be obvious so. It was the same dress, but then I started, of course, wildly shopping online and thinking about buying things. And it's just that I feel like I gained a little bit of weight this year, but I know I still have 3 weeks left. So I see this headline in the New York Times last week. Maybe you saw this story. 4 days, 11 pounds.
No.
Four
no, it's not
days,
possible.
11 pounds. I was like, yes, this is the answer to my prayers. 11 pounds. That would be so awesome to lose 11 pounds. So I read the story. It was like in the Well column in the New York Times. So it was just published this week in the Scandinavian Journal. So the idea was, it was a diet study. It was minimal calories, maximal exercise. Sort of like a very intense boot camp. But what they found was the participants they lost an average of 11 pounds in 4 days, which is pretty amazing. And they kept it off for months. But here is the rub. Those 4 days are rough. First of all, it was a study just with men. So they didn't use women in the study, but they ate 360 calories a day.
Oh, Monica, that's nothing. That's
almost nothing. And it was mostly liquid. So the men either had like carbohydrate drinks, like sugary drinks, or protein drinks, and then a lot of water. 360 calories a day is nothing. And then
you can't do the water because you live in Portland. it's really going to be a problem.
Iced tea's good though. Iced tea will work. But so 360 calories a day. And then this is the part that I love. They walked for 8 hours a day straight.
Okay. Well, how are you going to engineer that part of it? You getting one of those treadmill desks at work?
No, they were together. They were, I don't know if they were roped together. So that's how they did it. So
were they prisoners somewhere? What were these guys?
8 hours a day in the Swedish countryside. Every hour they had a 10-minute break. And that's when they ingested, 20 or 30 calories at each break, or 10 calories. So they walked for 8 hours straight a day. They did complain of blisters and sore knees. But here's the thing. They all lost 11 pounds. And it was just 4 days. And this is the part I don't believe. They said they were not hungry. They said they were not hungry. So
they were unconscious. Okay. So Monica, right. how do you see putting this into action in your life?
Well, there's no way I could do that because I'd have to take 4 days off from work. Or five days off from work and just start walking. I don't know, but I think on a sort of a limited scale, I've been just trying. I'm just going to have to try to, something, increase my exercise and eat less.
You think that's it?
That's the big revelation?
That's it, Liz. That's it. There's no way.
Darn, I was hoping there was some other path.
I knew 11 pounds in 4 days. I knew there was a catch. But that's what the catch was. 8 hours of walking a day.
You can set out now for Cape Cod. And you might be able to make it from Portland, Oregon to Cape Cod in 3 weeks. walking 8 hours a day.
Okay.
You should consider that as a strategy. Wow. So you're going to give this a go before you go shopping for dresses again? Is that it?
Yeah, one day I can do it.
Yeah, it's a long weekend, Monica. You could at least today and tomorrow, you can get maybe not 11 pounds, but given this wacky science, maybe you'd at least lose 5 to 6 pounds if you only do it for 2 days. Why don't you try that? Report back.
Okay, I'm leaving right now.
Walking back to Portland.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this whole show has been about pellets in the hitch and wacky diets. But sisters, I really want to recommend a movie about science to you that I think you will love. It's called Particle Fever. Have you heard about this movie? It's a documentary. Ooh. And it sort of chronicles 6 brilliant physicists. They are involved with the Particle Collider in Switzerland, the CERN project. This is where they were searching for the God particle. Do you remember hearing about that?
When yes.
They discovered the Higgs boson. Well, it's so unlikely, but they've made a documentary about that experiment. It was 30 years in building, sort of the idea of, you know, building a particle collider. And interesting enough, I didn't realize this, that they were going to build the particle collider in Waxahachie, Texas, that they had started to build it there. But then the U.S. government vetoed building a larger collider. So they had to move it to Europe. And that's where they built this. It's about an hour and a half. And it follows 6 different scientists that have been working on this project, some that are in Switzerland working on the right there, others that one guy's in Princeton, one guy's at Johns Hopkins, another guy's at Stanford. And it's just fascinating. And it's made for people like us. I went with a girlfriend who was an art history major, and we both loved this movie. I mean, there's a lot of like math symbols flying across the screen, some of which I could not even identify what they were, like I had never seen them. But you learn a great deal about it, and it's told in an emotional and compelling way, such that at the end of the movie, I had tears in my eyes.
Oh,
I had tears in my eyes.
Really?
Yes. So it's very exciting, and you get some sense about like scientists that work on things for like 30 years, and they had the great, you know, they had some success, and then they had a huge setback at the particle collider where everything sort of melted down, and then they had to rebuild it. And then, you know, finally, when they got some of this, you know, the data from the particle collider, I mean, you were elated at the end of the movie, and you're left with huge questions between order and chaos. That's what you're thinking about at the end of the movie. And you're also so impressed with these physicists that are like the central characters. Well, they're real people in this movie. I mean, because they're so smart and yet they're so clear. They're able to take highly complex things that we can't even think about and, you know, turn it into a mathematical equation or to create some kind of experiment for it. And yet they can communicate about it in such an, you know, sort of a simple level. You know, it's impressive to see people that have such high functioning brains. You know, I mean, it makes you.
That must be a really hard movie to make because there's so little you can actually show, right?
Oh, like, this, but it's that's the thing. It's actually very visually, it's very entertaining to watch. As I said, I went with a friend. She was an art history major. We went into the theater, and we believe that everyone else in the theater was a particle physicist. You're not going to find this on the big, you know, in the big box office area. It's going to be a small art film, but it's very well reviewed. It's got, you know,
what's it called, Julie?
It's called Particle Fever.
Okay.
I'm telling you, girls are going to love it. Yeah, I would highly. It's very different, but so interesting. And you understand things, you know, that I didn't understand. I mean, I remember reading about the discovery of the Higgs boson particle, but I really couldn't understand what it was about. Now I have some very basic understanding of it. Mm-hmm. The other part, on just a totally superficial level, is you have never seen such bad hair in one movie. These physicists, I don't know what it is. There's yeah. one Italian woman that she's got some good hair, but everyone else, male and female, maybe it's because they're so brainy. They don't think about it, but it's sort of shocking to watch in the movie.
They're probably also not washing their blue jeans.
No, this group is they're early adopters of that theory, Liz. Early adopters, no doubt. But I want to recommend it. It's called Particle Fever.
Okay. Wow. Well, at the way other end of the entertainment spectrum, this week I spent the whole week seeing every new television show in America. And I think I started to explain this on last Sunday's show. Here's the way this works. I work only on television networks that are outside the United States. So what happens is, inside the U.S., as you've probably seen in the TV news over the last couple of weeks, last week and the week before were the weeks when all of the U.S. networks announce what shows they're making for the fall. So then as soon as they do that, all of the international buyers come to L.A. for 10 days, and I qualify as an international buyer, even though I live in L.A., and they show us everything they're actually making, because then we can pick, you know, we want to buy this for Europe or this for Latin America or whatever, but they can't show it to us any earlier because they haven't gotten their orders from the U.S. networks yet. So you follow me? So,
yeah.
So it means every day this week I was at a different television studio and they would show you like 8 different TV shows over the course of the day, some dramas, some comedies that they had sold to one television network or another. So just, you know, one big trend I wanted to reinforce, it was a little more than a week ago that Ellen posted on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group the question, is it just me or are nearly all television series filmed in half darkness?
Yes.
This got quite a bit of reaction from our group members, you know, because she said Game of Thrones. OK, there's no electricity. The Good Wife. Surely they need light to read. Hannibal. Maybe no one wants to know what they're eating. Scandal. No good reason. And so many, many of you chimed in with your own comments about that, that not only are many of these shows hard to see, but they are increasingly hard to hear. To the point where even like English language dramas, people among you out there, including, I believe you, Monica, have resorted to using closed captioning.
I thought I was the only one. My old TV, before I got my new one, the sound was so bad and my hearing was going at the same time. I found closed caption and then I was totally dependent on it. And I had a friend come stay at my place when I was away. And I was so embarrassed. The closed caption was on the TV. I couldn't understand one thing that was being said on The Good Wife. Right. And then I started missing all the jokes on Modern Family.
Yeah.
And that's why I went to the closed caption. So I thought I was the only person in America doing that. But no, I'm not alone.
Well, you are not alone. I had noticed the darkness. That was starting to drive me crazy, too. Like, just super shadowy, dark, everything, for no reason, as Ellen points out. So here's what I want to tell you. Now that I've seen every new show for the fall, there are a lot of new shows coming that you will not be able to see or hear. This trend is definitely growing in Hollywood. And on my list of new shows that fit squarely into the you can't see anything and you can't hear anything trend, Constantine, that's a show about a man whose soul is already damned to hell. So he decides to devote himself to like ridding the world of other evil spirits. So you can kind of understand why it's very dark.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had no idea what was going on in that show. Then Gotham, which is a show that I actually really like.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah,
cannot
that's going
to
be good. You can't see anything, Leanne, but it's still very enjoyable. And that is a Batman origin story, which is very well done and a lot of fun to watch, but extremely dark. Then there's this show called Backstrom, which stars Rainn Wilson as like the world's most hateable person. And he's just like an oddball detective, but he's like mean, anti-woman, anti-gay, anti-black. He's just like, he has no redeeming features at all. And this all takes place in rainy Portland, Oregon. So it's dark and it's rain. Though, Monica, you should take a look at, I don't think it's actually Portland. It looks to me like it's actually Vancouver, but they're pretending it's Portland.
Right. I think it was filmed in Vancouver, but yeah. Feast of Darkness. So that'll be good.
Yeah, so you can't see anything. And you know, you'll just get a flavor of that very quickly. And then the last one that fits squarely into this trend was a show called Forever. It's about a medical examiner who is himself immortal. So I'm already out.
Yeah.
even if I could see it or hear it, I would be out. And this is something that came up in our discussion about this too. The star, who's very, very good in it, is also British. There are a lot of British people contributing to this problem of not being able to understand what they're saying. So this has a touch of Elementary to it.
Oh, okay.
You know, which I know, Leanne, you had called that out as a show that's hard to understand.
I love it. What I can hear of it, I love.
Yeah.
I love it. I just can't hear it.
So you can all look forward to that. A lot of new shows you can't see and can't hear. Then there's another show I wanted to call out. I didn't even mention like Stalker. Apparently it is a law that Dylan McDermott gets a new show every year.
Right.
He's in a show called Stalker, which I watched, and it's super well done. But why on earth would I ever want to watch a show about stalkers?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's like serial killers.
Yes. It's serial killers, at least I believe, are few and far between. So I don't really spend a lot of time worrying about being tracked by a serial killer. But stalkers is a little more real life. So it was good, but it's about stalkers. Hence the title. And then there was this another crazy show called Scorpion, which it's possible, Leanne, that your boys might like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But one of the descriptions I read for it said, calling all Smash fans.
And oh, thought,
Smash fans. There are no Smash fans.
Me? I love Smash.
I know, me too. But there are like 10 Smash fans in the world. So I would just get a better marketing pitch than calling all Smash fans. And they said that because Catherine McPhee is one of the stars.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's basically about an international network of super geniuses, like super nerds, who are helping the NSA solve all of these crimes. But the action in Scorpion is so outlandish that people in the theater that I was in were actually laughing out loud, which I think is not a good sign.
Right.
So Stalker and Scorpion, try them if you will. But then the main thing I want to point out is that we have three very significant shows with very significant female lead characters and actresses that for me cross the whole spectrum. One is the new show, Madam Secretary. You may have read about this. Taya Leone plays the Secretary of State of the United States. And I came out of that show and said to my colleagues, well, it's sort of like West Wing meets The Good Wife.
Oh,
then,
good.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then I opened up the promotional material where they described it as West Wing meets The Good Wife.
Nailed it. Nailed
You're
it.
A genius, Liz.
I'm a genius. But I was hoping it would be more West Wing, but it's actually much more The Good Wife. But I would highly recommend this show. Madam Secretary is, you know, I think for the Satellite Sisterhood, you should at least take an initial stab at this when it premieres in the fall. So that's Taya Leone. So like adult woman playing an adult woman. I'm just for that. Then one step down from that is a new show called Mysteries of Laura, where the star is, calling all Smash fans, Deborah Messing.
Oh,
okay. So Deborah Messing plays a Columbo-like character. She's a homicide detective, but guess what? Also juggling ex-husband and kids, you know? Right. So she's got all
gold, too. No doubt she has a heart of gold. Right?
Yes, yes, yes. And I'd say this show has a lot of potential. She's, for me, she was not Columbo enough. She could push the comedy. It's like it didn't know whether it was a comedy or a drama. But I like Deborah Messing. I like the idea of the show. So that's sort of halfway up my list. And then the last one on the list of adult woman playing an adult woman on TV is Katherine Heigl, is in a show called State of Affairs.
Oh, and that's the CIA. She's the CIA agent. Yeah.
Yeah. So she is right. There's a whole bunch of shows where the descriptor is fill in the blank meets Scandal.
Right.
Right. That's what this is. This is a fill in the blank meets Scandal. I am not a Katherine Heigl fan in general, though I loved her on Grey's. And then I don't know. I just lost her. So I don't know how people feel about Katherine Heigl. If you're pro Katherine Heigl, you're going to want to check out State of Affairs. I like all CIA shows, actually.
Me too. So
I would say I would propose that the Satellite Sisterhood get behind Taya Leone, Deborah Messing, and Katherine Heigl, just because, just, you know, just because it's nice that, and most of these are not that dark. I think you're going to be able to see them and hear them.
So reassuring, Liz. Thank you.
And I feel like there's a Satellite Sisterhood block behind these kinds of shows might be effective. So those are, that would be my top line on what I saw this week.
All right. Liz, good roundup. I know we have to get going because we're worried about Julie's grandchildren. But one quick note. One thing I was looking forward to watching on television this summer, Liz, is the little thing we call the World Cup.
Yes.
Until Jurgen Klinsmann, the coach of the U.S. national team, named the final roster this week. And he left off my man, Landon Donovan. A way to go, Jurgen. Way to suck all the enjoyment out of the World Cup for me, Leon Tolan.
Is that how strongly you feel about Landon Donovan?
I love him, Liz. I love Landon.
He's the captain of the team and everything?
He's our hometown boy here from Southern California, plays for the Galaxy. How can you forget that goal in the last World Cup? I mean, I know he has some critics, but I'm not one of them, Liz. Okay, I'm not on Landon. I am pro Landon Donovan, and it's just reminded me of this simple fact. That is true. That parents, despite what you try to tell your children, every once in a while, the coach simply does not like you, and that is true from AYSO to high school to college, and now to the men's national team. The coach simply does not like Landon Donovan and left him off the team. That is my interpretation.
That's
of that.
Your complete evaluation. Is this, do they have a history with each other? Is that it? Or
yeah, I mean, they have a, you know, he was lukewarm. Landon needed some time off, you know, after, I mean, he had played like back-to-back seasons, then gone to Europe, then World Cup. And so he didn't want to go to a camp a couple of years ago. But I mean, he's certainly one of the best 23 players in America, and they left him off the roster. And that's a mystery. And, and the only answer could be the coach doesn't like you. That's what happens.
That must hurt this far into your career that you're still, your whole life is in the hands of a coach.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, and my whole life is in the hands of this coach. So
are you not going to watch the World Cup now?
No, I'll watch the World Cup. Barrick just walked through. He doesn't like Landon Donovan, so he doesn't care.
Well, there was a lot of soccer being watched yesterday because it was the Champions League final.
Yes, what a game.
And it's like every place I went in Santa Monica, people were watching the Champions League on TV. So I just want to say to everyone who's always saying, like, America doesn't care about soccer and we don't know anything about the game. And like every bar in Southern California yesterday was watching the, you know, Real Madrid versus what was the
Atletico
Madrid. Play a game in Portugal, and there was lots of screaming and yelling spilling onto the streets from a soccer/football game. So please just stop saying nobody here cares about. But there was some speculation among those people that maybe Klinsmann did this because he believes there's no chance of them getting out of the first round anyway. So, you know, just like give the new kids a chance because he fundamentally doesn't believe they're going to make it.
Yes. No, well, that's probably true, too. That's probably true, too. Right. He's not going to win with this team. But then even more reason why punish Landon. Like, why take it personally out on him? You know? I mean, it's just.
You'll be conducting your personal protest, Leanne, in your home, wearing, I guess, Landon's jersey or something as you watch this. Okay, I think it's very fitting.
Okay. All right. Well, that's... No, does suck the fun out of it.
It does.
The,
done.
You know, maybe the next, I'm just looking at my list of TV reviews. I know we got to go, Julie, but next week I can cover the comedies. There are some good ones.
Oh, good. Good list.
Anything that's in the Shonda Rhimes category. Viola Davis is in a fantastic show called How to Get Away with Murder. Love that. And then there's this crazy musical comedy fantasy called Gallivant. So it's a musical comedy with a singing, dancing hero. So I got to give you a little bit of an update on that. And then there's a creepy kids show and there's a dead kids show. So those are all categories I can cover next week.
Liz, it's really breaking news because we're not invited to these previews. So it's good to know what we need to be watching in the fall.
You're gonna see them all. Yep, you can. I just want to, you know, head people in the right direction. Okay, we got anything else going on here?
No, yeah, I got it.
Julie, clearly you have to go. Okay.
Those grandchildren. It's a long time in the pool. Okay.
I think Monica started walking already. She's walking.
Did we lose Monica?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm lacing up.
Okay. All right. Well, tomorrow, Memorial Day holiday, everyone have a fun day, relaxing day, and think about the people we are supposed to be thinking about on Memorial Day. And we will, you guys, Tuesday show, you got ready to go for Tuesday?
Oh, I got some great dog advice for Julie.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We're going to, Kyra Sundance weighed in. We're going to solve Zorro's problem.
Excellent.
Okay, well, that is it.
It made me laugh out loud when I read the advice, so it's awesome. So stay tuned for that.
That is quite a tease. We're just going to have to leave it there. We are the Satellite Sisters. Call your Satellite Sister.